things. Well, let's jump into our study. We're going through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We're in chapter 6. You've been with us. You know we're going through the armor of God. So let's go back to it again as we press on to that next piece of armor and how God might want to help us be equipped for the battle. Ephesians chapter 6. It might seem we're going fairly slow through these, but I just want to make sure we make them practical. That they go not just from something that's head knowledge, but something we understand how to actually have that piece of armor going on and how to go out and have it, you know, as the armor he intends, the protection God intends. Well, let's remind ourselves of it again, starting at verse 10, as Paul describes the battle and God's provision for it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. There is protection, there is strength in no other place, but there is in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Thank God there's a place to stand. Thank God there's a foundation. And the call is, don't give ground. You don't need to stumble. Don't need to fall. But there's a place of victory. It's in the armor God provides. Now, we've been kind of going each week as we added to it to make sure we're remembering it. So let me just do that once again. And are we okay here? Can we see through the microphone here again? let's do real quick, make sure we understand. Now, remember, now the first piece of armor was what? Yeah, to gird your waist with or have on the belt of truth. The very first piece we saw, that foundational piece, that which so much kind of is anchored on or attached to, is truth. Why? Because our enemy is a liar. He's a deceiver. And so we need to have on truth, that first piece of armor. And that means you got to know it to use it, because truth is God's word. So we have to know it that we might use it, that we might have it on. Second piece of armor was what? Breastplate of righteousness. And it speaks about the fact that when we receive Christ, an awesome thing happens. Our sin is put to his account. His righteousness is put to ours. And it's called, we are imputed. Righteousness is imputed to us, put to our account. But not just imputed, but it's imparted, meaning he works that righteousness in us and through us. And it becomes that part of that armor that protects the heart, our will, so much of that represents in all of that. The third piece of armor, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We spoke about the fact that we need a place for standing, a good foothold to hold our ground. And it's pointed out here that that rests in the fact that we've been reconciled to God. Preparation means prepared or to have as that foundation and all that idea of what the gospel brought into our lives is the idea. That because of that, and it's called the gospel of peace because receiving of Christ gives us peace. First of all, peace with God, which ushers in the peace of God, and then peace amongst our brothers and sisters. Without peace, we are very vulnerable to the enemy. But with his peace, it's an armor when those attacks occur. And last week we saw the fourth piece of armor, and that's what? The shield of faith. Not the faith, as in the body of things we believe, but faith. Our trusting in, relying upon God, his word, his character, his nature. And it's described, these attacks of the enemy are described as fiery darts. These arrows, these missiles that are launched, they come in the forms of, they come in the form of all kinds of things, doubts and various thoughts that are not of the Lord and all. And what we saw was the idea is to get up, put up that shield, stick between us and the attack, God, his nature, his word, his truth. And so we've seen that that's become part of the protection. This morning, the fifth piece of armor, verse 17, the first part of it, and take the helmet of salvation. There are a lot of kind of helmets out there. I kind of did this when we went through the shoes, but let me just remind us a little bit. Just take a look up here. Here's an example of a helmet. We understand the idea. That's a World War II version, but we get the idea. So there's an army helmet. The next one up is a, what kind of helmet? A bicycle helmet. Kind of got the ventilation thing going on and all. So there's a bicycle helmet. Here's a picture of a construction helmet, a hard hat. A construction helmet is the idea in all of that. And of course, what he's directly... What he's really talking about is that which he would have seen, and that is the Roman soldier's helmet. And it had both the side things to protect the side and all, but you've seen that in movies or plays and different things, the idea there. Just all different ideas. Matter of fact, I put in one more. That shows the plume that they would have on these fancy ones to show the officers and the leaders. So just kind of ideas of a helmet, and just want to kind of begin with that. But let me ask you something in all of that. See, think about helmets for a minute. The law requires, for example, that if a motorcyclist have to wear a helmet. Interesting. When I was younger, see, the government's protecting us from ourselves. More and more. More and more. Well, now you got to have a helmet. If you're a youth and you ride a bicycle, got to have a helmet on. It's law. Got to have that helmet on. Why is there not a law for elbow pads? You might make the kids wear it, but there's not a law that says you got to have knee pads on or elbow. Can you imagine pulling over that motorcyclist? Where's your knee pads? But why? So why is there a law to cover the head? Well, because while it might hurt for when our kid falls and skins his elbow or something, the brain is critical. That's why we do the helmet thing, because that's command central. That's a critical part of our lives. And head injuries can cause long-term serious problems, of course. And so that's the idea. The brain is crucial. Well, Paul sits there, and he's looking at these... He's a prisoner when he's writing this. And he's looking at this Roman soldier, and he's looking at each part of the armor. And now he comes to, and he looks at that helmet. And he's thinking spiritually, the application spiritually, but he looks at the helmet, and he goes, basically what he says is, we need one of those. We need something. We need something to protect these brains of ours. That's our focus this morning. The helmet that God provides. Well, what is it? And how is it really used? Well, hopefully we, from this time, understand it, our great need for it, and make sure we take it up in the battle. I've called our time the helmet of salvation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We gather right now in your love. A love not dictated by our worthiness of it or earning it, but just freely extended to us. And in your love, you extend to us salvation. Thank you for the blessedness of salvation. Settling our relationship with you, dealing with our sin, settling eternity, bringing hope into our lives, all that salvation ushers in. Thank you for the awesomeness of salvation. Help us now, Lord, to lay hold of what it means to have that as our helmet. And that we can go out of here and truly rest in it and take it up in the battle. So lead us in this time. Lord, I just want to stop and say thank you for all you're doing around here. We think right now of all the kids over in the classrooms. Bless the teachers, refresh them, and use them to speak to the children. Help the kids know of the blessedness of forgiveness and salvation and your love. We think of the guys at the retreat, Lord. May they have a great wrap-up time and then a safe trip back, Lord. Lord, from their time, from our time, let there be much fruit. And Lord, work through us. Whatever you want to do with us here, work through us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, again, just to remind us, and it might seem obvious, but it's so important to think about it. What does the soldier's helmet protect? Well, the helmet protects the head, the brain, the mind. Remember, all these are speaking metaphorically. They're representing spiritual truth, spiritual battle, spiritual armor. In this case, it's talking about that which protects our brains, our minds. And why do we need protection in particular for our minds, our brains? Because much of what the enemy attacks has to do with our brain. He specifically targets our brains, our thought life, our decisions and all. And so that's what's being referred to here, our beliefs. All those things that we would say kind of are part and parcel of that brain. We read in 2 Corinthians 11:3, allow me to put that up. It's an example of what we're talking about, how the enemy targets that. But I fear, Paul writes, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. I'm just saying what we know. Paul's pointing out that the mind is the battleground so often. And you say, I'm concerned that just as the enemy deceived Eve, I'm concerned that your minds, your thought life might be corrupted. And so again, it's just pointing out that fact that our thought life, our minds are a major battleground. And you know what? I probably don't need to spend a lot of time convincing you of that. You know that. You know the enemy targets our thought life and our brains and what we meditate on and everything else. So I probably don't need to spend a lot of time on that one. I read recently this book. The guy author was making a great point. He was challenging the reader. He said, take some time and just start noticing what you think about. When you're driving to work and you're kind of just in autopilot, what does your mind tend to drift off to? When you got a little relaxed time, a little downtime, what do you tend to think about? When you wake up at night, what do your thoughts go to? He said, just start noticing. And that was a challenge. You start noticing. And a lot of times they're not things of God have us to think about. We get into worrying or anxiety or just all these things that are not profitable. They're less than God's best for us. And so we have to be careful of that where we let our minds go to, what we entertain and all. And it's a major target of the enemy. And we understand that. We don't spend a lot of time on it. Because of that, we need a helmet. We need a spiritual helmet to protect us. Good news, God has one for us. Now remember, we talked about the three pieces of armor were something the soldiers would wear basically all the time. You can't sit there when all of a sudden they start attacking and say, oh, I better start putting on the breastplate now. But you wouldn't sit there all the time necessarily standing with your shield up and stuff. And you wouldn't wear the helmet all the time, as pointed out. A lot of times they would just have it hooked on the side of their belt, or it'd be on just sitting there, and all of a sudden, oh, here comes the enemy. You scoop it up, boink, on your head, and you grab your shield and sword, and off you go. So here we're talking about that which we're going to take up, actively putting it on, so to speak, as the battle comes at us and all. Well, good news, God has provided us that very needed helmet. Now, to understand that and how we're going to use the helmet, though, we want to make sure we understand what he's talking about, because it's called the helmet of what? Of salvation. Well, okay, I'm saved. If you have indeed received Christ as Savior, you're saved. How does that give me protection, though? How does being saved, receiving him in terms of dealing with my sin and all, how does that give me protection of my thought life and all? Well, let's make sure we understand, first of all, what is meant by salvation here. Some commentators believe that the point here, that the salvation spoken to here means the effect of knowing that we're saved. Just the effect of knowing we're saved now, that right now we're squared away with God. Many other commentators point out that no, because of a reference Paul makes later that we're going to look at in a few moments, that it means the hope of salvation, meaning the hope that salvation brings into our lives of what the future holds. That we have the hope, the sure and certain hope of where we're headed, that eternity is settled and secure, that after this journey here as pilgrims, we're going home, and that's settled. So some say, no, it means knowing you're saved now. Some say, no, it's just the hope that salvation brings into our lives and what's up ahead for us. Well, I like what Pastor Chuck wrote or said. Pastor Chuck said this, Paul calls it the helmet of salvation. He says, first, remember, he says salvation is in three tenses. First, I have been saved from the penalty of my sin. That's called justification. Secondly, he says, I have been saved from the power of sin. That's sanctification. That's right now. But third, I shall be saved from the presence of sin. That's called glorification. All three parts. There's a current, there's something that's what's settled, there's the ongoing work, and there's that what's up ahead. Then Chuck said, the helmet of salvation, I believe, is all three aspects of my salvation. But more specifically, it's the third aspect, which is the hope of my salvation. So there's no need to pick between any of it. They're all true. But as Chuck points out, he leans towards, but there's a specific importance here of understanding how the hope of salvation is a protection for our minds. Let's think about it. How is then, therefore, salvation a helmet for our minds, our thought life and all? Well, let's consider some verses about the mind and all, and what being saved has done for our, these minds. And I'm not just talking about the blood vessels and all. You don't understand this. It's the decisions, the thought life and all that go on there. But let's look at some verses that help us understand how salvation works to protect our minds. First one to look at is 1 Corinthians here, verses 2, 14 through 16. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. No matter how wise someone is, IQ-wise or something, until we receive Christ as Savior, until you're born again spiritually, spiritual things won't make sense. The natural mind cannot understand spiritual things, he's pointing out. But the next two verses say to us, but he who is spiritual, you have received Christ, judges all things. Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Interesting. What's being talked about there? What's the idea? When we are saved, this points out that God gives us, if you will, a new mind. The mind of Christ is called. No, he doesn't do a lobotomy on us and go in and remove your brain and give you a new one. It's not talking about a new brain in terms of new blood vessels and things like that. But what he means is we now begin to think spiritually. We now begin to think as Jesus, in a sense. We our thinking will begin to line up with the Lord. We'll begin to have a spiritual understanding to our thought life. The enemy and this world will try to attack us by challenging God's word. The enemy will try to challenge our salvation. And indeed, those things don't make sense to the natural man. And that's why I hear sometimes these discussions, you go, yeah, but that's, you don't understand where God's coming from on it. But we do now. We have the mind of Christ. And so when the enemy tries to come on, you think God would save someone like you? How could you think you're worthy of that? It's not about worthiness. See, but the world thinks it's, well, your good has to outweigh the bad. Or I'm basically a good person. Or they get in all this kind of discussions because they're thinking worldly. But once you're born again spiritually, you have the whole, you think like Christ. You understand things from a spiritual perspective. And that's what's being pointed out. And that becomes part of our weapons. Basically, we now have discernment. We have spiritual discernment. We can see into things, understand things, understand the we can understand truth from error. We can discern truth from error because the Holy Spirit takes up residence. We now have this mind that's now has the spiritual discernment to it. The next way that salvation protects our mind is it's kind of lined up with this, but a little bit different here. The next way salvation protects our mind is revealed. Matter of fact, it's revealed right here in Ephesians. Turn back a page or so, depending on the setup of your Bible. Go back to chapter 4, and let's remind ourselves, because this can introduce kind of the second way that the salvation is a helmet for us, part of our armor. Chapter 4, verse 17 and following. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles, Gentiles means unbelievers, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Now, we all were once there, but now you're saved, he's saying, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. Receiving Christ, salvation now introduces us to begin to learn Christ. If indeed you've heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be, now here it is, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. and that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So here we have the idea of we get a renewed mind. He renews our mind, it speaks about here. You're renewed in the spirit of your mind. Again, he says, Paul points out, before salvation, our thinking was futile. Spiritually speaking, he says, we were ignorant of God, of his ways. We lived in a darkened state. Spiritually, we were dark, he's saying, about spiritual things. But receiving Christ now, he says, he now uses the term, you have a renewed mind. You remember Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So you present your whole being, your brains inside your body. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, here it is again, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, there's a renewing effect, if you will. When we walk in Jesus, we present ourselves to him, he talks about. We learn to hear, to listen, to be sensitive to obey what he tells us. There is this effect of he renews our minds. As we soak in the word and all, he renews our mind. What does that mean? You'll begin to, again, he talks about it here, you'll know the perfect will of God. You'll have a discernment you didn't have before. You'll understand spiritual things. You can recognize truth from error. It's all kind of a package deal here, but I want us to understand how this is a protection. And interestingly, and you can know God's will. Now, not the whole thing. This is a walk of faith, not sight. But we can learn to hear when he says, put your foot there. No, don't put your foot there. And he guides us in life. We can learn his will in all this. So we can learn when something is of him and isn't of him. And that's a protection, isn't it? To know, hey, that's of God, that one's not. Well, that's spiritual and comes as we're renewed in our minds, a new way of thinking, etc. Another way that salvation ushers in protection for our minds is found in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Another way that coming to know the Lord brings this helmet to bear upon the mind, the thought process of our life. That with the entrance of the Lord into our life, he doesn't bring fear. As he says, what's he bring? He brings power and love and a sound mind. We now have a mind that's under control, if you will. Meaning it's settled. We don't have to be carried about by every wind of doctrine. When it says that he gives us a sound mind, that doesn't necessarily mean that all of a sudden all issues that sometimes are part of our brains are healed. I say we still struggle. You know, we have this issues of anxiety and everything we struggle with. But he wants to understand that a sound mind means that its issues are settled. Eternity's settled. Forgiveness settled. You don't toss by everything that comes around, again, by every wind of doctrine. So what's he saying here? What does this sound mind represent? A mind that doesn't have to be fearful anymore. Not fearful, he says. He doesn't give us fear. The enemy's trying to give us fear. But instead, he gives us a settled, anchored. Anchored's a good word there. He gives us a settled, anchored mind. A place that I can take any fear or anxiety to and not go with, but instead experience his touch. And it's all in that hope of our salvation. So having said all that, just some examples of how that works, I want us to consider this. First, let me read the scripture as it sets before us a way to use this weapon now. For though we walk in the flesh, this is 2 Corinthians 10, for though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. So he's going back to this idea again that we are in a battle, a spiritual battle. But though we walk it, so though we have these bodies and all, our battle's not really in that realm. For the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, they're not fleshly, they're not just our thoughts, our strength, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. He goes on, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So when these attacks come, Any devil try to exalt itself above God or argue against the truth of God or something. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Bringing thoughts captive. Remember, we're talking about the mind, the protection that salvation, knowing the Lord, gives us. Spiritual discernment now, a sound mind, issues are settled, eternity is settled, have the hope of heaven, all that's going on. Well, when an argument, an attack, anything that comes along that would exalt itself against God or something, what are we to do? He says, bring it captive. Don't let it win. We have the victory. Don't buy into it, but bring it captive, he talks about. Very important. It's a good example of how the helmet is used for protection. And notice again the tie-in between battle, wars, victory. These battles of our thoughts. Thoughts come along. The enemy throws these fiery darts and these thoughts and all that come along. And they try to exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. The enemy would say, well, he knows better. You don't really believe that, do you? Etc. Well, the Lord says the way to victory is to bring that thought, that dart, that doubt, that imagination captive. What? He uses a phrase, to the obedience of Christ. So we hold it up against the Word, and then we choose which one am I going to believe? Am I going to obey? Am I going to believe and obey the Lord? Or am I going to let the dart find its target and rip me off of the peace and all that God would want me to have? An important, important way to get victory here. So when a thought comes along, when an attack in that area comes along, right away we're to ask ourselves, how does it line up against God's Word? And spiritual discernment will kick in quick, of course, hopefully, where we start to recognize, no, wait a minute, that's not what God has said, or no, wait a minute, that doesn't line up. But he gives us his word to run things through and to be that grid, that filter, so to speak, to check things out. And when the thought comes, ask yourself, indeed, does it line up with the Word? Does it line up with what we know about God? See, that's how we do this. We're thinking spiritually, we have discernment, and we say, no, wait a minute, that's not what God has said. Then I obey what he has said. I go with what he said. When a thought, when an attack comes in that realm in our brain or thought life or something, ask yourself, does it line up with this? Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, this word that means sense, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Again, driving along the freeway, find your mind drifting or going, say, wait a minute, that's not profitable. And learn the discipline of saying, you know what? I'm going to bring that thought captive. Instead, I'm going to think on that which is just, noble, pure, which are the things of the Lord. Am I come down just to learn and to praise the Lord while you're driving, or get in some good worship, praise, music, and get yourself shifting gears or whatever? But it's a good challenge. What do we meditate on? Be careful of that, because that will bring in fruit one way or the other based on what we go with and all that. So it's just a good encouragement. Run that through. Is this from God? Is this a line up with what God has given me in all this? Well, so we're talking about what salvation means and the helmet that it is and how we apply it. One more point. I said we'd mention this. Look at it. In 1 Thessalonians 5:8, Paul does indeed say, but let us who are of the day, that's a phrase for us now, we've come to the Lord, we're of the light, children of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. And again, he goes back to it and says, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. That's why we put particular emphasis on that as part of the protection. The hope of salvation, he describes it as. When the enemy tries to tell us that it's hopeless, come back in the hope of salvation. It's not hard to get discouraged, is it? Turn on the news. And you can get discouraged if you're not careful. You look at some of the decisions being made by leaders, and there's a possibility there to get discouraged. So many things out there potentially to get us discouraged. When the enemy tries to get us discouraged, hide in the hope of heaven. Bring out the hope of salvation. is the idea. When you feel tired, see, when we're tired, run down, discouraged, we're very vulnerable to the enemy just saying, why don't you quit? Just give up. Why are you hanging in there? Look at you. What good is your faith doing for you? You know, we have rough days. We're physically tired. Emotionally, things come along, whatever it might be. So the enemy will try to convince us to doubt is the idea. Maybe it is that there's no heaven. Maybe that Jesus isn't returning. Oh, how long has it been now? You've heard that for so long. The hope of salvation is our answer, is our protection that will protect us if we go back to the truth that eternity is secure. Are you thankful that eternity is secure? That we can fall back on, but I know this because God has said it. He's established it. The issue's settled. So keep our thoughts on the hope of salvation. On that hope. You are forgiven, all believers. He is saving us in terms of changing us now. We don't have to go with the power of sin. There is victory now. And especially, and I know where I'm headed. My eternity. We face a lot. I'm not making light of anything we face. But always remember, the ultimate big issue is settled. The big issue is settled. That is the hope and the helmet of salvation. And the goal, of course, is it does protect us from discouragement. It protects us against the desire to give up. Giving us hope. Again, not only just in knowing that we're saved, but where we're headed. It's assurance, isn't it? It's the assurance of salvation. The assurance that God has and will triumph. If you're in the Lord, you're on the winning side. Don't let the world try to convince you otherwise. So, the helmet covers the mind. The helmet of salvation brings a calming peace in the midst of the battle. It protects us from being duped, from being discouraged. There's that place to go to and fall back upon. There's a definite protective aspect, if you will, to salvation if we just rest in that fact, the truth of it. There is life after death. We will be with Jesus forever. It's a done deal. I'm going to invite the worship team up as we now respond to the blessedness, the assurance of, the protection of salvation. Thank Him for it. But there is a proviso, isn't there? If you haven't received, you're not protected. But Paul says, he understands, sometimes it doesn't make sense. Oh, I love that part of that one worship song we sometimes sing about how I was about to say, basically said, I know it doesn't make sense. You count it strange, so once did I. Until I met Jesus. And I know to the natural mind you go, how does that work? But if we by faith will receive that God set it up, receive the work of the cross, and He forgives us of our sin, and He secures eternity for us, and that ushers in this protective, these truths, this discernment that He brings into our lives. First things first, if you've never done that, as we're worshiping now, go to the corner, find a prayer partner, and say, I want to know more about that. If you're ready, then say, I want to pray for that. I need that in my life. The rest of us, hopefully, we've done that. So now, think how awesome it is to know that we're forgiven. Think of how that's changed everything we go through in our lives. In the midst of all our struggles, that internal deep peace of, but I know this, that He loves me in spite of me, and He has forgiven me, and eternity is secure. Oh, the blessedness of salvation. The assurance of the finished work of the cross. How it protects us. The helmet of salvation. Part of the armor that God gives us. Part of how we're going to stand, having done all to stand. Our part, He says, take it. Take it up. Means wear it. And make sure we thank God for it. Father, we bow right now doing just that. Thank You for saving us. Thank You for bringing into our lives that which protects us from the lies and the deceptions, the discouragement, all those things that come along. Thank You for the work of salvation the settled work, the ongoing work, the hope of salvation, what the future holds, the sure and certain hope. Thank you for it all. We want to spend some time thanking you right now for it and worshiping you. And then help us, Lord, go out here just always just having on this armor, walking in your victory. In Jesus' name, amen.